So Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15, and then Acts chapter 26 and verse number 24. Brother Fred is here. Brother Fred, give us an update on Josiah. How's he doing?
It's not a super big thing. It's just he hurt it, twisted his knee a few weeks ago, and we thought, oh, it went away. Off a little bit. So he's got a little knee brace thing. Hopefully we're just done with it. Eat right, don't have all the sugar stuff, and exercise, actually try to build up the muscle around it.
Oh, amen. Well, we prayed for him, so praise God for that. All right, well, Acts chapter 26, verse 24. If you got your place there, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read that verse, and then we're going to read Philippians chapter 2, and verses 14 and 15. Acts chapter 26, verse 24. And then Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 26. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Is it too cold in here now with the fans on? Or is it too hot in the back? You guys need a fan on back there? Are you guys good? Okay, let's read Acts chapter 26 first. Then we're going to read verses 24 and then verse number 25. So let's read that together. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Amen. Someone might tell you you're mad if you shine as a light. Go over Philippians chapter 2. And verse 14 and 15, and read those verses with me. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You mark it down. If you shine as a light in the world, at your job, at your community, your workplace, wherever you go, if you shine for Jesus, people are going to think you're mad. Nobody acts like that anymore. Amen. I'm here to tell you, people do act like that still today. Amen. They're called Christians. Amen. And they're God-fearing people. And so they're going to think you're mad, but you just stand. You just shine. Father, help us tonight as we finish out this one area, Lord, among whom we shine as lights, and dealing with this mad morality that is out here, Lord. It's so crooked, it's so perverse, it's so off the beaten path, Lord. But we as Christians need to get back on the path, Lord, and do that which is pleasing in thy sight. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Bless now in our understanding, and Lord, give us discernment and wisdom that we can go out and shine the way you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're talking about standing for our Christian culture against our crooked culture. And by the way, it has been crooked. It continues to be crooked, and it's not going to get straight because Jesus Christ is not in charge. Amen. It will straighten out. Guess what? It's going to straighten out for a while when Jesus comes to rule and reign from Jerusalem in a while. But guess what? As soon as Jesus gives them the leeway and Satan gets loose, guess what's going to happen? Going to get crooked again. Amen. To show you how wicked men's hearts are. Right now, we're looking at seven things that we need to stand for in our Christian culture and against in this crooked culture. Those seven are marriage, morality, money, movies, magazines, music, and the media. We've already looked at modern marriages, and we talked about biblical versus botched marriages, and we don't want to get involved with that. Now we're looking at mad morality. Amen. Mad morality. They've got bad boundaries here. By the way, at your workplaces, you are probably the only one that stands as a Christian the way you do. I would almost guarantee there is no one else in your immediate workplace that stands like you, unless you happen to be like me when I was in Belgium, when Brother Frank worked right next door to me. That is rare. But guess what? When I first moved in, he wasn't saved. But then he got saved. So it's very rare to have two Christians working side by side in the same office. Very rare. So that means you're going to be the thumb in the finger convention or the finger in the thumb convention. That's how you're going to be. Or you're going to be that cat in a room full of rocking chairs. That's how you're going to be. People are going to think that you are mad when you stand. And the things that we looked at last time was the word mad means insane, mentally ill, crazy, loco, or loony. And they think that we're mad, we're not in our right minds. Guess what? They're not in their right minds. We are to have the mind of Christ. Amen. And so our minds are different. The word morality means this: the principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong, or good and bad behavior, or how right and wrong are viewed to an individual. What standards do I use to gauge right and wrong? That's why some people don't have a problem with abortion. They don't see it as murder of a baby. God clearly calls it murder of a baby because the baby is already born. He said, before you were conceived in the womb, I knew you. He said, right, before you were already formed, I knew you. So that's a life. That's a living being that God has created. But the world will tell you it's okay. It's a woman's right to choose. Well, what about the baby's right to choose? Amen. And so it all, your morality, your view on things is going to depend on your biblical view or lack thereof. Amen. So morality is there. The morality of our day is mad, and they think that we're mad. We have this, Ephesians 4:23. We have a renewed mind. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What do they have? 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. For all is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's what they have. Amen. And so that's how they base their decisions. Last time we talked about four things that we have to be cautious of that seems to be pressing down on the Christian to help you make decisions and to help you make up your mind on certain things. And we said those four things were commercials, clothes, comedies, and current events. There's a whole bunch of other stuff we could talk about as well. But we're going to talk about those four. Last week, we talked about commercials and how the commercials have this mindset that they're pressing in on you and I to make you believe something. By the way, you will believe either the commercial or the truth. Amen. They have an agenda that they're trying to sell to you. So commercials, then we looked at comedies or sitcoms. How do they portray men? How do they portray women? How do they portray children? How do they portray marriage? How do they portray Christians? How do they portray immorality? How do they portray alternate lifestyles? Amen. And according to them, it's okay. Anything goes. And so we looked at those two last week. Briefly tonight, we're going to finish up with these last two. So it was commercials, it's comedies or sitcoms, clothes, and current events. We're going to talk about those real quick here over the next several minutes. First of all, clothes. We're going to talk about that. What's the world's mindset on clothes towards ladies, first of all? What's the world's mindset on clothes when it comes to ladies? Now, I'm not talking about the Christian mindset. The world's mindset on clothes. What do they say about ladies' clothes? What is that? Minimal. I got down. Less is better. Is that not how they sell ladies' clothes? Less is better. Hike it up here. Plunge it down here. Make it tighter here. Form fit it there. Amen. Ladies' clothes. Yes, Ms. Dawson. Dress to attract men. Less is better. They say this: more revealing is better, as Mrs. Dawson said. A dress to attract. Now, let's talk about that for a minute here. Why would the world's mindset be to attract the man, or less is better, when they cry foul about males picking on them and whistling, "Hey, baby," and then they say sexual harassment? Give me some feedback on that. Well, Fred?
I just said they want it both ways.
They want it both ways? Daniel?
No, just on the same line as him. They want to be able to pick and choose who they want. And if they're attracted to you, great. If not, they can call foul play.
No, sexual harassment?
Right.
Ms. Dawson?
They can't
see in dark. Amen. And that's why the Bible says, among whom ye shine as lights. Andrew?
And it's also being perpetuated by women. I was at the, I think I was Target, and I was getting school uniforms for the girl in the middle. And this woman was trying to get her daughter to wear this dress. And she was like 4. So she was trying to get the daughter to choose the dress as opposed to choosing these shorts to little girl. And she was like, don't you want to look sexy?
How old was the girl?
She was four. And she wanted her to choose this dress.
Wow.
The rationale was, or the encouragement was, don't you want to look sexy? She's four.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's what the mom used. So the mom is teaching her daughter this at four.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Amen. And you make a good point. And because you got to think about it. The children oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes are going to model mom and dad. Not often, not all the time, but oftentimes they're going to model mom and dad. They want to dress like mom and dad dress oftentimes. Not all the time. But less clothes is better is what the world's mindset is. More revealing is better is what the mindset is. Now, don't you think the devil knows that? Now, let me show you the danger with that. Matthew 5, let's go over there. Matthew 5, 28. If I'm going to dress more revealing, or if I'm going to say less is better, then there's a real problem with that because the devil knows that. And notice what Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28 says. Who's there can read that for me? Matthew 5, 28. G2, read that for me. So you see where we're going with this? If the devil knows that to look upon a woman, to lust after her is adultery already, and if I can get the women to dress in such a provocative way to get you to sin, guess what? I'm in a win-win situation if I'm the devil. Because you're going to be paraded with these ladies all over the place. And so the devil says, hey, ladies, dress like this, show it all. Less is better. Reveal it, plunge it down, tighten it up, because the guys are going to look. And guess what happens? Jesus says, now, if I do look, now I'm going to be guilty of adultery. So now I've got to walk around like this. Make sure I don't trip over anything. Why? Because just about every place I go, I'm going to see it. And so when we talk about this mad morality that's here, it is in the commercials. It is in the comedies, but it's also in the clothing as well. Satan is no dummy at what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Andrea said it best. Don't you want to be sexy 4-year-old? So what does that register to a 6-year-old? 4-year-old. 4-year-old. She's grown up already that you're supposed to be sexy. Now, granted, she probably didn't even know what sexy is. But yet, still, if mom is parading this in her mind, guess what? I planted the seed already. Because now Jesus says if this girl gets to the point where she's dressing provocative enough, if I can get someone to look at her, and then guess what? Then they're going to be guilty of adultery. And so now I've got this thing going on. And so less is better. More revealing is better according to the world's mindset. What about when it comes to the men? What is the world's mindset about men? How do men dress? What is that? Too tight or too baggy, amen. I've seen these guys with these pants. I mean, they are tight, tight, tight. And I'm thinking, you cannot breathe in that. Then, you know, they got them hanging down like this. And everything in me, every time I see them, I say, boy, pull your britches up. Pull them up. You got a belt. Use it. Tighten it up. Strap it up. I mean, everything in me will say that. But they might have a gun. They might shoot me. say that. Is that the model it, amen. But you see these guys walking around here, and what's worse is you see some girls doing it. And they got on boxer shorts as well. And they're showing all their boxer shorts. I'm thinking, you're a girl. It looks even worse on you than it looks on a guy. But that's what they're saying. More saggy is better. Show your underwear. Show your muscles. Show your buffness. Show it all. Have a muscle shirt on. Poke it out. Here, I want this. It's got to be tight. It's got to be fitted. Hey, all the commercials that come out with these athletes and whatnot, what are they showing? Curves and muscles and all this. You can't take it with you. But that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Hey, guys, don't put on these clothes that are appropriate for the occasion. By the way, how should the Christian dress? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I should be dressing to the glory of God. And so what is the world's mindset when it comes to clothes? What do they say about morality? Attract attention to yourself. Get everybody to focus on you. Ladies, 1 Timothy 2:9, especially Paul is writing to Timothy in the church setting. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, notice what he says there. And this is an age-old verse, and we've gone there many, many times, and so we're going to spend but a few minutes on that. But 1 Timothy 2, 9. Again, Paul writing to Timothy in the church setting. 1 Timothy 2, 9. And how does he say that the ladies in church, and in like manner also that women adorn themselves, how? In modest apparel. Modest in the concordance means this, orderly, decorous, or of good behavior, modest. The dictionary is unassuming, unshowy, unflashy, humble, or shy, no vanity. So it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or apparel or costly array. Now he's saying the attention shouldn't be the outward. What should the attention be? The inward. And so if I'm going to wear that which is modest or that which is orderly or decorous or of good behavior, I'm going to wear that in the church. Why would Paul give such an encouragement to the church? Why is it in the best interest of men and ladies in the church to dress this way? So it's not a distraction. If I see someone dressed provocatively in church, where's my eye going to go more times than not? Now, I'm just like you. If you see flesh, what do you look at? Why do you think the Islamic ladies are garbed from head to toe? Because when people see flesh, they are attracted to flesh. I don't care what kind of flesh it is. If you see arm, if you see leg, some folks, if you see hair, they get attracted to hairy legs, hairy arms. Whatever floats your boat, amen. Boy, he's a hairy person, boy. You know, and they get attracted. So anytime people see flesh, they get attracted, whether it's hairy flesh, bald flesh, barren flesh. Flesh is flesh. And people are attracted to flesh. So Paul said, in this setting, make sure, ladies, you have modest apparel. Why? The attention and focus should be to the preaching of the word of God. It should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be on getting my mind and my heart soaked and saturated with the word of God. Now, if I have someone coming in unlike that, then guess what? Now, I'm not talking to unsaved people that come into church. I'm not talking about people that have not been trained biblically. I'm talking about people, Christians, that have been trained and know better. Amen. And so he said, this is how you ought to be. Modest. We should wear that which is appropriate for the occasion and not drawing undue attention to ourselves, especially for the worship. We don't want to distract. By the way, let me just give you some things here very, very quickly. When it comes to our schools or our job, why do they have uniforms in schools and jobs sometimes? So structure, okay. What else? What was that?
Uniformity.
Uniformity. Amen. What else? Can you imagine if there's no guidelines on what to wear to school or what to wear to work? People would come in. I mean, if you work in a steel toe environment, they don't come in with steel toe. They come in with flip flops on and hot pants. And you're working around a welder. Can you imagine the foolishness of that? But some people would actually try to get away with it. And so there's got to be some controlling of problems, some uniformity, some censoring, some kind of organization there, some kind of identity there. So when it comes to schools, when it comes to jobs, they do that. Why do they have standards at restaurants?
For the same reason.
Same basic reason. What about at Walmart? Why do they have standards and dress codes? Identify, to uniform, to know if they've got a blue vest on with the sticker up here, they more times than not are a Walmart employee. When I worked at Rustler Steakhouse, if you had a hat, cowboy hat on and cowboy boots on with these little jean things and this little vest, you more than likely worked at Rustler Steakhouse. You're not going anyplace else dressed like that. Trust me. And so they could pick you out. Why do policemen have uniforms? So the bad guys know who to shoot at. So you can identify who the police officer is. Now, on the flip side of that, why do plainclothes cops not wear a uniform? So you don't know who they are because they want to bust you. So the police do it. The fire departments do it. Why does the judge come up with a black robe all the time? So you know who the judge is. Hey, when I put that robe on, buddy, I can sentence you. Pow. Guilty. So we've got this at the restaurants. We've got it at Walmart. We've got police department. We've got fire department. We've got the judge. G2 plays basketball. Why do you guys all have the same color? Who to pass to, even though they pass to the other team anyway sometimes. But it's to identify, hey, he's got a red jersey on. He's on my team. He's got a white jersey. He's on the opposite. Don't pass it to him. Do pass it to him. Identity. It's to create uniformity. Now, let's bring that home to the church. Why in the church do we have a standard for ministry? For the same reason. For the same reason, to identify who is in charge of a ministry. Who is the one that's in charge? Uniformity. Identity. Hey, that person is dressed this way. They must be a Christian. Nowadays, if you carry a Bible, brother, they accuse you of being a preacher. Not a Bible, but anyway. Carry that to the songbook. Amen. I remember I was going to the through the airport, and I had my Bible, going through the checkout, and I put my Bible up there. And they said, you must be a preacher. I said, why? They said, because you got a Bible. Preachers ain't the only one who carry a Bible. But guess what? It identifies something about me. Because the average person doesn't walk around with a big black Bible. Unless he's an undertaker or somebody. Amen. They normally just don't do it. Amen. And so when it comes down to this idea of clothing, it should be that which is appropriate for the occasion. There are guidelines all throughout the Bible. By the way, the high priest, guess what? They had guidelines as to what they wore. They were to dress a certain way, and they had certain things about them. You say, preacher, you're just trying to be legalistic. No, I'm just trying to make a point that we have to identify with Christ's likeness, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. They've got to see some kind of difference and separation. Preacher, why? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We want to please God with our best, number one. Number two, we want to show that God's worthy of our best. And then number three, we want to identify ourselves as a leader or in leadership positions if we are in ministry. Go over to Exodus real quick with me. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Exodus 28. What am I talking about here? Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Somebody's got to stand up for some morality when it comes to clothing and how to dress. And it's got to be the Christian. Exodus 28. And as they're getting the apparel ready for the priest, notice what it says in verse number one. Take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. Notice that from among them, he's going to be different. That he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Amen. So they were to make some garments for them. If you go down there, you talk about all how the garments were to be made. Not everybody in Israel dressed that way. Only the ones that were ministering in the temple. What am I saying? When we have a dress requirement for the Christian, it identifies a difference in us from the world. It makes a difference. It says something about who we are, who we're identifying with. That's why in churches you have sometimes standards like that. Amen. Uniformity. So clothes. So that's a mindset, a world's mindset that they have. Let's talk about this last one very, very quickly. I'm going to rush through this one. Amen. Current events. So we talked about commercials, comedies, clothes, now current events, or tabloids as you know them. Tabloids, by the way, tabloid, it means this. Newspapers or magazines dominated by headlines, photographs, and sensational stories, but sensational in a vulgar way, revealing immoral things. By the way, these tabloids is another good way to press society's morality on you and I. How many of y'all have gone through the checkout line, and what do you see on the stage or on the stand there? What do you see? Inquirer, Globe, People, Us, or U.S. Weekly, or whatever they call that thing. And if you're anything like me, you look at that, and half the people you don't know. But there's always one face that you know. And everything in you wants to go over there and pick it up. Let me see what they're saying about them. Then you have to say, none of my business. I don't need to know that. Because it's all garbage. It's all garbage. It's all garbage. By the way, I was looking up to see what the top magazines were when it came to current event tabloids. What do you think the number one tabloid is? Actually, that I thought the same thing. It's actually number 14. It's 14. I was shocked. I thought, I'm sure it's going to be National Enquirer. And National Enquirer was 14. Guess what the number one is? People. People. Do you know that they will randomly give you a subscription to one of these magazines that will come to your house? Because they want to get you hooked? Whether it's National Enquirer, whether it's People, they will say, let me give you a subscription. And what are they trying to do when they do that, when they give you a free subscription for a while? They're trying to bait you, trying to get you to get there, start flipping it, start saying, I like this. Wow. And then they'll say, your free subscription will be up in X amount of time. You can renew it for half the price, 75% off. And they got you. Hey, let me read this to you here. It says, the best gossip magazines are the top publications. They give all the dirt. These are the tabloids, both real and rumored about favorite celebrities, a favorite distraction for supermarket checkout lanes everywhere. These gossip rags love a good scoop, an awkward photo, or a juicy rumor. I saw they had a picture of Donald Trump, and he looked bad on this picture. I mean, he doesn't look good anyway, but he looked bad on this picture. And his hair was all messed up. He looked bad. And it talked about his hair. And his hair looked bad anyway, but it looked worse on this picture. And they began to go down and talk about him, and I thought that they caught him. They caught him. It says, an awkward photo, a juicy rumor about top actors, musicians, politicians, and other celebrities. While many celebrity gossip magazines consistently publish insane stories based on sources close to celebrities, some of these gossip magazines also consistently put out what could be considered solid stories. Amen. And it's, you know, talks about some people are leaders in that field. Let me read you the top listed ones. See if you know any of these. I didn't know hardly any of these. The number one is People Magazine. Number two is Us Weekly. Number three was Entertainment Weekly. Number four was Pop Star. Number five was In Touch. Number six is Life. Number seven is Globe. Number eight was Hello. Number nine is Star. 10 was Bop. I didn't know such a thing existed. 11, Tiger Beat. I remember that when I was a teenager. I didn't even know it was still in circulation. Tiger Beat, that was aimed at teenagers. Passed away looking like, what? What is that? It was aimed at teenagers back when I was a teenager. Tiger Beat. 12 is Now Magazine. 13 is Who? 14 is National Enquirer. Of the top, they had like 45 up there, and I only went up to the 14th. National Enquirer was 14. These are the most popular. What am I saying? This is the current events, the tabloids that they're putting out there. And by the way, my wife says she heard about that. Remember Donald Trump trying to get his book not published? There is waiting lines to get his book. 70 million has been published already?
I think it's 75.
75 million?
I'm not sure, but they can't get the books printed fast enough.
And you know why everybody wants Donald Trump's book? Dirt. They want to find the dirt. They want to find the dirt. As Americans, we had to be honest. We love dirt. As people, we love dirt. And people are looking for dirt. And these dirt magazines, these current event tabloids, are revealing people's dirt. And people like other people's dirt. Amen. That's just the way this world's mentality is. What am I saying? Among whom we shine. We can't give credence to that. We can't give them an arm. We can't give them a leg in. Notice Judges 21:25. Let's read that here as we get ready to close. Judges 21:25. These are the things that are shaping our nation. Because everybody's reading these magazines. Judges 21:25. What's the world's mindset on this? And this is the world's mindset. Judges 21, 25. Who's there? Can read that for me. Daniel, go ahead.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Did that with it? Hey, if they want to do that, more power to them. More power to them. Proverbs 12:15. Let's go over to that one. Proverbs 12:15. If they want to do it, more power to them. Let them do it. Proverbs 12:15. Hey, Gabriel. Proverbs 12:15. And who's got that one? Proverbs 12:15. G2, read that.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And that's the way of this world's mentality. This is the world's mindset towards current events and tabloids. Hey, this is right. Let me follow what they're doing. The paparazzi want to get the best shot so they can look at somebody doing something. And people want to see it. Current events is pressing in on us. Our comedies are pressing in on us, giving us a mindset. Clothes are pressing in on us, giving us a mindset. Our commercials are pressing in on us, giving us a mindset. Trying to tell you and I what to believe. But the Bible is still the word of God. And if we're going to shine, we have got to follow God and not the world's mindset. They're going to be out there with their clothes, their current events, their commercials, all their comedies. But guess what? We can't give into that. We cannot buy into that because God wants you and I to shine as lights in the world. Go back over to Philippians chapter 2 where we started at. Again, we were talking about we got to stand against this mad morality. And when we stand against this mad morality, they're going to think that you and I are mad because we don't stand like them. The minute you speak out against their foolishness, as Brother Serge said at the job, you're lying. When they said, what did they say, Brother Serge? About getting to heaven or something like that, and you say you're lying?
Yeah, as long as you believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter what your religion is, you're good to go, and I say you're lying.
And when we say stuff like that, we're mad. We're mad. But guess what? He speaks the words of truth and soberness, like Paul said to Felix.
But I had one gentleman who thanked me for my honesty, and the result I was able to share more information with
him. Amen. Amen.
If I just kept my mouth shut and not said anything, the same old barber would just been perpetuated.
Amen. And like I say, they're going to think we're mad. Let them think. Paul could care less what they thought he meant. Paul said, you know I'm not mad. He said, you know I'm not mad. He said, you know I'm speaking truth and soberness. You know it. And guess what? There will always be somebody that believes. Or maybe not believe, but they are looking. The same way Serge dealt with this guy, I had people deal with me. They didn't know in my heart of hearts that I was really looking for something. Didn't know what I was looking for. But when I heard a piece of truth, my ear perked up. Might that be it? Then I'd see their lifestyle. I said, no, that couldn't be it. I'd hear another piece of truth. Might that be it? Wasn't until Rod Branch came. And I said, that's it. 3.5 months he spent answering questions that all my life nobody could answer. And he used this book.
Talk and the walk were in sync.
Exactly. I said, he knows what he's talking about and he's living it. And he used the Bible. And because of him, I got saved. Amen. Hey, folks, people are going to think we're mad. But when it comes to standing against this mad morality, these bad boundaries they have, we don't have to buy into that. The commercials are going to push against us. The clothes, the comedies, it's all going to push against us. But we've got to shine. I said Philippians 2. Let's read verses 14 and 15 again. And let me get over there and then we're going to close. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Let's read that. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Amen. They're going to need to see our light in these areas. The devil is already pushing against many Christians, and many Christians have fallen inward. Don't let it be us. Next week, we're going to talk about standing against moving money. Say, preacher, why moving money? Because if you're not careful, money can move you. If you're not careful, money can move you. Father, help us now. As we stand in this crooked and perverse nation, we're trying to shine as lights. Lord, we know the morality of this world is mad. We know that they're going to use their commercials to pump their mentality into us. They're going to use the clothing to pump that mentality to us. They're going to use the comedies to lull us to sleep and try to pump that into us with laughter. They're going to try to use the tabloids and the current events to try and pump that garbage into us. Lord, help us to stand against it and then shine as lights in this world, God. I pray that you would help each and every one of us to take our stand with Paul and say, I'm not mad, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And help us do that which is pleasing in thy sight. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Give us safety as we travel. And Lord, raise up those that cannot be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.